Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you this morning. We thank you for who you are. We praise you. Hallelujah. And we thank you for victory that we have in Christ. We give you praise and give you glory. We thank you for the entrance of your word. It brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Shine in our hearts, Lord, with that word this morning in Jesus' name, and let your name be glorified. And everybody says, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, good morning and welcome everyone. I want to speak to us for a little bit on what is your declaration of faith? Now, what is your declaration of faith? You know, so I'll just share with us a few examples here of some people that had some powerful. Time will not allow me to tell all the examples of some powerful declarations of faith in the scriptures, but we'll pick out a few that should be sufficient. I'll just go through the scriptures and pick out a few of them from the Old Testament through the New Testament, a few here and there. What is your declaration of faith? Now, you know, it's easy to say praise the Lord when things are good, when all is well. But what if things are not so good and things don't look too well? You know, what is your declaration of faith in such cases? Well, let's just look at a few examples here in the Bible. I'm going to start with Abraham. We're going to go through this very quickly because I don't want this part to be long, because we have a Thanksgiving service and you know, celebration of some graduations and so forth like that, you know, afterwards. So Abraham, let's look at his testimony. In Genesis 17, verses 4 through 6, the Lord said something very unique to Abraham. He said, look, I want you to, you know, realize that I'm going to make a covenant with you. Now, Abraham wasn't asking for this. This is what God did. You know, God did this. He said, my covenant is with you. Now, usually when you do a covenant, you know, two parties, you know, one person will sign their part, the other person will sign their part, you know, and so forth. But this was a special covenant. It wasn't anything that Abraham signed up for initially, but he had his own part to play. The part to play in the covenant that God said, I'm going to put my covenant between me and you. The part that Abraham had to play was his declaration of faith. And here's what the Lord said to him. He said, thou shalt be a father of many nations. Now, at this point in time, we know Abraham didn't have a child. And the Lord went on to say, you know, in verses 5, I want to read verses 5 through 6, if you can pull those up for me quickly. He said, look, neither shall thy name anymore be called Abraham, whatever that meant, but thy name shall be called Abraham, which is the father of many nations. Because the father of many nations have I made thee. And verse 6, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Now, this was God's covenant to Abraham. This was God's promise. Well, things didn't look like that at all. Abraham, after this promise, went childless for many, many, many years. I mean, imagine God speaking to you when you were childless and saying that I am going to make you a father of nations. You know, I want you to even change your name, you know, and I'm going to make you so fruitful, many nations will come out of you. I'm going to bless you. Well, you would expect. Now, Abraham was married. It's not like he wasn't married. That is why. They didn't have a child for many years. Maybe they've been trying. I don't know how long they've been trying. You know, so you would expect that after such a promise, the next year or so, you know, after the cycle of life, how long does it take to have a child? 9 months? Or maybe a year or two, you would expect that Abraham will start having children by Sarah. And Sarah will start popping them out. But that was not the case. 1 year goes by, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 17 years, 22 years. I mean, come on now. Did God really speak to you as the devil telling him now? Are you sure God really spoke to you, Father of nations? And imagine what his friends might have said when he changed his name. When he changed his name from Abraham to Abraham. And if you called him Abraham, he wouldn't answer. He'd say, what is my name? My name is Abraham. You call me Abraham from now on, or I will be the father of nations. And he changed his name to prove that. And for 25 years, he carried that declaration of faith that I will be the father of nations. He didn't have a child. And the people around him looked at him and said, well, you don't even have a child. How can you be the father of nations? Are you kidding? We, look at us. Have all our children here around us. You know, we don't even call ourselves father of nations. Now you, childless, you're now going to do more brilliantly than all of us put together. Father of nations indeed. You know, and they could have mocked him. But he said, I will be the father of nations. Hallelujah. Amen. Now I did say, if you hear something that makes you glad, you can shout for it. You know, because that's somebody's declaration of faith in the faith. And here's how, you know, the scriptures would later write about this. Romans chapter 4, from verses 16 through 21. It says that, you know, when God made this promise to Abraham, you know, God is the one that calls things that are not as though they already are. Hallelujah. So even the barrenness and all of these things, God already said, look, you know, I'm going to give you something. And, you know, he said, look, Abraham against hope believed in hope. If you read the next few verses, you know, verse 17 will tell you that God calls things that are not as though they already are. And later in the next verse, he will tell you that Abraham, you know, who against hope believed in it. That means against all odds. I mean, he's getting older. He's not getting any younger. From 75 years old, he couldn't have a child. Now you are almost 100 and you still can't have a child. But you are still believing and you are still proclaiming that you will not only have a child, but you will be the father of many nations. Hallelujah. Now that's some declaration of faith. And I tell you what, I don't know why God allowed it to drag out that long, but maybe it is for you and I. Because the Bible says that the things that are in the scriptures are written for our examples. Hallelujah. Now, that was Abraham. Let me leave that alone. I've got to move on. I'm just going to drop a few of these names and you see how they had their various declarations of faith. Now, what about Job? I mean, Job was a man. We all know his story. All the things that came against him. Out of God bragging about him. God bragged to the devil, have you seen my servant Job? That there is none like him, one that escheweth evil and feareth the Lord, and does all these things and so on. You know, and the devil, he said, yeah, of course. You know, why wouldn't he fear the Lord when you have protected him and done all these things? You know the challenge. And unknown to Job that he was actually a trophy in a contest between God and the devil. The Lord said, well, I know him. He's not going to give an inch. And the devil said, well, I guarantee you, he will give more than an inch. You let me do certain things. And the Lord said, go for it. You know, and so he went for it. And you know the rest of the story. But here's what Job said. In Job, you know, there are many places he said something. In Job chapter 13, you know, Job said, from verses 13 through about 16, he said, look, he's talking to his friends. He said, look, you hold your peace now. You let me speak and I will speak. You know, let come to me what may. No matter what happens to me, I don't care. You know, and so forth. And finally, in the next verse, he said, look, though the Lord slays me, go on to the next verse. Even though he slays me, yet will I trust him. Hallelujah. And I will maintain my integrity and my ways before him. Well, you know, I don't know about you, but I think, you know, that thing that Job went through was beyond human endurance. In one day, not only did he lose all his belongings, Well, belongings, you can get more. But all his children in one day, are you kidding me? And yet he refuses to, you know, cave in. He said, well, though he slays me, yet will I trust him. No matter what I go through, I will maintain my ways before him. Hallelujah. Now that's some, you know, declaration of faith. And he went on to say in Job chapter 19, verses 25 to 27, he said, look, you know, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and I will see him too. And no matter what happens in my flesh, go on to the next few verses. No matter what happens to, you know, my flesh, you know, I know that I will still see God. Even though the worms and everything destroyed me here, I will still see God. You know, that was his declaration of faith. He knew he's coming out of that grave. Praise God. Hallelujah. I will see God. Hallelujah. I'm going to wait until my change comes. He said that too. Now, in Job chapter 14, he gave this powerful declaration. He was answering his friends that were telling him all kinds of things. And he gave this powerful declaration in Job 14, verses 7 through 9. He said, look, you know, there is hope of a tree. If it be cut down, that it will sprout again. And that the tender branch thereof will not cease. That was his declaration of faith. And he said in verse 8, go on to verses 8 and 9. He said, though the root of this tree waxed old in the earth and the stalk died in the ground. My declaration of faith is yet through the scent of water. Hallelujah. It will burn again. Now this man knows that, you know, all I need is a little refreshing from God. Just a little time of refreshing. Just a little, not even a downpour of water. Just the scent of the water alone from God will bring forth a revival, a restoration of the things that are died, the things that are even dead, the things that are even rotten. They can come back alive through the scent of water. Hallelujah. Now that's some declaration. And man, at the end, the Bible says that he got twice everything in here. Whereas he had 3,000 sheep, he got 6,000. In some places where he had 7,000, he got 14,000. And the one he had 5,000, he got 10,000. You know. And then God also restored his children, everything. But I guarantee you, during those times that he went through, even his wife came to him and said, look, enough of this integrity already. Just curse God and die. Be done with it. You know, I mean, how long? But he said, look, I brought nothing into this world. I'm taking nothing out. And I don't care what the Lord does to me. I will yet praise him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, you know, one of my favorite characters in that Bible has to be David. I mean, David, you know, not only did he know how to praise the Lord, but he knew how to give incredible declarations of faith. He would say things like, the Lord is my shield. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my buckler. He's my high tower. He's my hiding place. He is my salvation. He's my song. You know, he's my deliverer. And he would say things like this in Job, you know, in Psalm 18. And verse 29, he said, by my God, ha, hallelujah. Through my God, I invite you to read the whole of that Psalm 18 and just see, you know, all the experiences that David, the kind of clout that David had with God through prayer. Where David said, look, when I prayed, the Lord stood up. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, when I prayed, the Lord blasted out of his nostrils with thunders and lightnings, coals of fire, what came to me before him because of my prayer. Hallelujah. He sent and took me out of the miry clay because I prayed. Well, you know, do you have that kind of power with God? Can you pray and get God to do things like that? And God thunder with a voice when you pray. Well, this man, he knew the right buttons to press. He knew how to say, my God is my deliverer. He is my hiding place. He's my shield. He's my fortress. Under his wings will I trust. He knew how to say things like that. And he said, by my God, I live through, you know, I run through troops. Look, you can bring a troop against him. It didn't matter to David. Listen to his declaration in Psalm 27, the first three verses. Let's read the first three verses of Psalm 27. This is the declaration of faith. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Basically saying, I will fear nobody. I will not be afraid of anything. Hallelujah. Read the next two verses. Go on to verses 2 and 3 quickly. When the wicked, see, this is his declaration of faith. Anytime the wicked and my foes, they come up against me, they will stumble and they will fall. Hallelujah. You don't even need to bother about it. They will stumble and they fall. Though an host should encamp against me, this is his declaration of faith. And host didn't matter to him, whether it was Philistines, anybody else. You know, he said, look, when a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Amen. There may be war all around me, but even in this will I be confident. Hallelujah. Amen. I will be confident no matter what is happening around me. Now that is some declaration of faith. Now what is your declaration of faith? That's the question in here this morning. He went on to do many things. You know, this David, there are too many stories about him to tell. But I want to keep this short. But I will tell you one. In 1 Samuel 30, verses 1 through 6, the story of Ziklag, you know, how the Amalekites came and did some things and so forth. When David had gone to help the Philistines and carried some folks with him, by the time they came back, their place at Ziklag was smitten. You might know the story. If you don't know it, read it. And when the people came back, they were distressed. You know, they were distressed. Now that's 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 6. They were distressed. And the people actually thought of stoning him. Because they said, look, it's because of you. I mean, you made us engage in a fight that didn't even belong to us. You know, now, look at us now. We've lost our wives and our children. Our cities are devastated and so forth. So the people said, look, let's stone him. You know, in those days, they like to stone people a lot. So we're going to stone him and kill him, you know. And David was distressed. But the Bible says in verse 6 of this chapter that he encouraged himself in the Lord. And let's see how he did it. Well, turn with me to Psalm 42 and verse 5. Let's see how David encouraged himself in the Lord, you know, at different times when he was distressed. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted with... He talked to his own soul. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. Hallelujah. For he is the help of my... You know, I will praise him for the help of his countenance. Now, I've said it to some folks, time and time again, that look, you know, there'll be days that you are on top of the mountain. And then you wake up the next day and you are like this gloomy person. I mean, it's like night and day. Yesterday, you were happy. You were on a roll. Today, you get up and there's this burden. You don't know where it came from. It's just heavy. And so forth. And I say to people, you know, you need to be like this. You need to go to that mirror and say, mirror, mirror on the wall. Today, we are not doing any of that gloomy stuff. Hallelujah. We are not doing that gloomy stuff today. Today, I'm going to praise the Lord. This is my testimony today, that the lines are falling onto me in pleasant places. My testimony is that I have a goodly heritage. And you need to begin to declare, you know, David said, look, you know, he said, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. But let's read something else that he said in Psalm 110 and verse 3. If you can put that for me quickly, you know, Psalm 113, I mean 10 verse 3. David was a man that knew, you know, how to declare good things for himself at the start of the day. He said, when the morning starts, in the womb of the morning is pregnant with something. It's going to, the day is going to bring forth something. Now, David's testimony is that I'm going to make sure that this morning that is pregnant, what he brings forth for me is goodly things. Amen. I have a goodly heritage.
The lines are falling unto me in pleasant places.
Now, what is your declaration of faith in the morning when you wake up? Declare good things for yourself. Today, there shall no evil befall me. Hallelujah. Amen. Neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. I will see no evil. I will hear no evil. I will speak no evil. I will even think no evil. Hallelujah. You know, because goodness and mercy shall follow me. That was his testimony. That was his declaration of faith. Goodness. He said, surely, goodness and mercy. The last verse of Psalm 23. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now that is a declaration of faith. Praise the Lord. Now, what is your declaration of faith? You know, what is the situation that you are facing? Well, let's see some other, even more hazardous situation. Now, there's a lot of things in David's life, but I just want to keep this short. You know, many things that he went through, and there wasn't any time that he did not remember. He said, Lord, I will remember you even from the mills, from the hills of Mizpah. I will remember the Lord, you know, and so forth. You know, he always remembered, and he strengthened himself, and he said, look, I am not going to let anything get the better of me. My enemies, they may come up against me. They are going to fall. They may do all of these things. Doesn't matter. He said, you know, all nations may surround me. You know, hallelujah. Like bees. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them all. You know, that was his testimony. That was his declaration of faith. You know, he said, look, I don't, you know, doesn't matter what they do. I will destroy them all. In fact, he said, one time he said, look, the Lord has made my hands, by this my hands, I can even bend a bow of steel. Now this, you think of people bending a bow of steel, you think of Samson and maybe some other great people. You didn't know that David could do it. Yeah. David said, look, by my God, hallelujah, I can run through troops. By my God, I can bend a bow of steel with my hands. You know, he said, look, you better get away, you know, clear out away from me. I'm going, if you stand in my way, I'm going to run you over. That's what he's saying. By my God, I run through troops. I'm going to bulldoze you, run you over, do whatever, but you are not stopping me. I'm going through. Amen. He said, even the shadow of death cannot stop me. I'm coming out on the other side. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That was his declaration of faith. He already knows he's coming out on the other side. Amen. Now, he could have said, when I walk into the valley of the shadow of death. That's a dead end if you walk into it. But David said, when I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, even the shadow of death cannot hold me down. I'm coming out on the other side. Hallelujah. Now, give the Lord a hand clap for that. That's a beautiful declaration of faith. Praise the Lord. Now, let's look at Isaiah. I love this one. You know, and I've given it to some of my folks on Clubhouse and so forth. I want to give this to you here. Isaiah 50 and verse 7. This was his declaration of faith. This is the way that Isaiah put it out there. And he said, look, the Lord God will help me. Now, this is his testimony. This is his declaration. Why? Because the Lord already told him in chapter 41 and verse 10 that I'm going to help him. So now he's going to declare it for himself. He said, look, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face as a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Hallelujah. Now let's make this a memory verse today. Let this be our memory verse. And I love it in the King James. I don't know what the other versions say. But let's do it together in the King James. Read it with me. Say it. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 7. Now that is some declaration of faith. Now, what is setting your face mean like a flint? You say, well, I put my game face on. In America, that's how they will say it. I'm putting my game face on. Hallelujah. I'm bringing my A game. Ha! Hallelujah.
Look, the devil can throw the kitchen sink or anything at me, but by my shield of faith, I know that I will not be confounded. I know that I can quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. I mean, this man, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, I would love you to make this your memory verse today. Isaiah 50 and verse 7. For the Lord God will help me. Let's say it again. The God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Setting your face like a flint also means you zero in on your target. You know, flint, you put, you know, blinders here and here, you know, and then, you know, you're not distracted. There's no distraction. I'm going straight ahead. I'm going for the prize. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, we're celebrating this season is a season of commencement. And a lot of people, you know, celebrating their graduation and so forth. Well, I tell you, you know, when you're going through a program of study and different things like that, there have been many times that you would have liked to quit. Hello? Anybody resemble that? Oh, yeah. There have been many times you would have liked to quit. But this verse right here will carry you. Hallelujah. If you have this verse, you say, I will not be confounded. That means I won't be confused. You know, there are times in our life that we have confusion and so forth. Say, no, I will not be confused. Because the Lord will help me. Praise God. Why do you think we have the Holy Spirit? So that you will not be confounded. This is the reason why we have the Holy Spirit. So that he can help you through situations. And you will not be confounded. Glory to God. But you must set your part is to set your face like a flint. Your part is to not allow these distractions. Praise God. Distractions can come from anybody, even your best friend, even your family member. They say, you can't do that. Well, says who? Praise God. You know, no, let nobody tell you that you cannot do that. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Can somebody say, praise the Lord? That was one man's testimony. I'll come to his testimony in a bit and his declaration of faith, you know. But, you know, this is it. This is the verse for today. This is the memory verse for today. Isaiah 50 and verse 7. That's, you know, that's our memory verse. And let's look at a few, you know, other examples. I want to go through these very quickly. Here are, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Now, you know their story. Under the penalty of death, they were faced with, look, when you hear this music, you bow down and worship the golden image that set up. Now, if that is so, then all is well. But if not, you're going to be cast into the fire. And these folks, look at their declaration of faith. You know, they were young folks. They were probably in their teenage years. Here's what they said. You know, they answered, they said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to... This is not a matter that we need to go and pray about. We don't need to go and figure out the answer to give. We already have our answer. Hallelujah. That's right. This was their declaration. In the face of imminent death. In the face of imminent death. What was their declaration of faith? Well, let's read it in the next verse. Daniel 3 and 17. This is a powerful declaration of faith. If it be so, if you are going to cast us in there, you know, whatever. We know that our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. Hallelujah. Now, I've often said to people that, look, that part of it is non-negotiable. It is non-negotiable that you must know and be persuaded that God is able to deliver you and that he will deliver you. Not only did they say, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from your burning fiery furnace, we also know that he will deliver us out of his hand. But let's see the flip side of their declaration of faith. You know, this is their declaration of faith. We know God is able to deliver us, and we know he will deliver us. But in the next verse, they said, look, if for whatever reason, best known to God, you can show us verse 18. If God somehow chooses to not deliver us, even though we know he can and he will, well, let it be known to you that we still will not worship your gods. Amen. And at this point, Nebuchadnezzar was so furious. Furious. He said, crank up the fire 7 times. You know, and the people that tried to crank up the fire, they themselves were slain by the fury of the fire. Of course, Nebuchadnezzar was standing behind a fireproof glass, hiding somewhere, you know. But the Lord, he delivered these young men. Amen. Because they had this incredible declaration of faith. They already knew that Isaiah said in Isaiah 43 and verse 2, that when you pass through the fire, not when you go into the fire, go to the fire, you might not come out, but when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the fire, it will not even kindle upon you. Hallelujah. And these people said, we know, God said it, we know he can do it, and he will do it. And that was some declaration of faith. And God left some of these examples in the Bible to challenge us today. You know that these things are actually possible. Praise the Lord. Now, let's read the testimony of Micah. Micah was one of, you know, not too many known, not very known, not well known prophets in the Bible, but he did prophesy some incredible things. I mean, God gave him some incredible things. He understood and he saw the cracks. You know, Micah chapter 5, verse 2, he said, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be the smallest among the thousands of the cities of Judah, yet out of thee is coming forth one that is going to be governor over Israel." And he didn't stop that. He said, "Whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." He saw the Christ even before the world began. Now, this man, he was powerful. God took him into dimensions. And he saw a lot of things. And he brought it forth. And then at the end, he gave this testimony in Micah chapter 7. I just wanted to show you some of his great prophecies, just in case you didn't know he prophesied that. But this was the place where, you know, when Herod was saying, after the wise men came and said, "We've seen the star, this somebody called to be the king." And Herod said, "King, well, you know, call all the scribes. Tell us, tell me, where will the Christ be born?" They went to this scripture. This is the place they found. You know, so this was the man that said that. Now, he said in Micah chapter 7 and verse 8, this was his declaration of faith. Now, "Rejoice not against me, O my enemy," he said. "When I fall, I shall arise." Hallelujah. "And when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me." Now, what is sitting in darkness means? Well, let me tell it to you this way. You know, there are days when you are on the mountain top with the Holy Ghost, and you are on a road, and the voice of God is just like that. And you are just hearing him like that. And then there are days when God is nowhere. You can't find him. You search up and know he's silent. That's when you sit in darkness. You know, but when you sit in darkness, the Lord told me one time, he said, "Look, in that dark, in those dark moments, remember what I told you when you are in the light." Hallelujah. Now, when you are in the mountaintop, remember his word. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, he'll bring to your remembrance. In your low moments, in your low, you know, time. You know, when you have those Red Sea moments and it seems like you are not going to make it, the devil is going to finish you off. What will you do? Well, Holy Ghost will remind you that the Lord said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. That I will be with you when you pass through. No matter what, I'll be right there with you." And he said, look, this man said, "Look, you can knock me down, but I'm not staying down for the count." Hallelujah. "When I fall down, I will arise again." Now, the righteous, they may not knock down 7 times, but they are going to get up. You know, the thing is not about being knocked down. It's about staying down for the count. You can be knocked down, and when those, you know, I watch those boxing fights,
When the guy is knocked, the other guy is knocked out, the corner, you know, say, stay down. Stay down. And but in this corner, his own manager, you know, say, and his trainers, and everybody, get up, get up. But in the other corner, I say, stay down. Just throw in the towel already. Well, when you're knocked down, that devil tells you to stay down. But in your corner, here comes the Holy Spirit. Amen. And here comes the angel of the Lord. And he'll say, get up. I am with you. Be not afraid. You will not be confounded. You will not be ashamed. I will be with you. I will be your glory and the lifter up of your head. And those are some of his declarations that David said. That the Lord is my glory and the lifter up of my head. When you are down, the enemy, you know, sometimes the devil will chip shot you. You know, and he knows how to not hit you below the belt. The devil, he knows that. He's a master at it. You know, but what is the point? The point here is, will you stay down for the count or will you get up? That's it. I've seen people that are knocked down. I've seen a great, you know, boxing match where somebody was knocked down in some round, earlier round, and they went on to win that fight because they did not stay down. Now, if you stay down, then you have no chance of winning. Because you already stayed down. So you may be knocked down. You may even trip. Sometimes they even fall. It's not like a real knockdown, but they fall. You know, but they still take the count. Take the 8 count, get up and so forth. You know, but if you stay down, then you are finished. Praise the Lord. So don't you ever stay down for the count. You need to bounce back. And this man said, I will bounce back. When the enemy chip shot me, I will bounce back in the name of the Lord. Can you say amen to that? Praise the Lord. You know, the scripture also says that, look, you know, there are times that you have good times, and there are times that you have challenging times. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 14, we are told, in the day of prosperity, rejoice. So there will be prosperity. But then in the day of adversity, consider. Well, so that means there will be adversity also. Wouldn't it be great if all we had all our days was always prosperity and we never had adversity? But that's not possible. It's not the way it is. And it's not going to happen. Because it never was and it never will be. That's the reason why God, when he commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and he said, let there be light. From the very beginning, one of the first let there be that came out of his mouth. Let there be light. That was the first thing he said. And there was light. He saw the light. He was the light himself. And he saw it. The light was inside of him. He saw it. He knew it was good. And he commanded it to shine everywhere. You know, but when he did, guess what? He did not rebuke the darkness. He could have said, and let the darkness be no more. And if he had said that, there would have been no more darkness till today. But he didn't say that. As a matter of fact, not only did he not rebuke the darkness, he actually gave the darkness a name. He called it night. And he called the light day. And he left the two of them side by side. And that's what this verse is saying right here. He said, look, God has also set them over against the other, that means side by side, so that you will always trust the Lord, you know. So, there will be days of prosperity. Well, rejoice. And well, as sure as there are days of prosperity, this is not being a prophet of doom. This is calling it the way it is. As sure as there will be days of prosperity, there will also be the day of adversity. But in the day of adversity, what are you going to do? Well, you have to consider. Hallelujah. Remember, you know, see, when they were facing the Red Sea, they forgot. They did not consider. That's the problem. But in the day of adversity, you have to consider. Remember how the Lord delivered you when the angel of destruction went throughout all of Egypt and he kept everyone in your household. Do you remember that? No. They did not remember that. They said, we are surely going to perish here. You know, there is no way out. We are going to perish. So the Lord said, remember. In the day of adversity, remember.
Remember the day of prosperity that the Lord brought you. Remember all the times that God has answered your prayers. You say, well, what about now? Well, so what about now?
He will do it too. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. God is not a one-answer God. You know, He's a God of multiple miracles. Hallelujah. He can give you multiple supplies. You know, in fact, you know, why do you want to stop at one when you can get two? Why do you stop at two or three when you can get more?
One time, Elijah was unhappy with the king, you know, of, you know, Israel and so forth. He said, look, you know, take your arrow, a bow and shoot. And the man shot like just a few times and stopped.
And the prophet said, why did you stop? When you are on a roll, why did you stop? You could have kept going.
But because you stop, that's all the victories you are going to get. Now, you're going to have a hard time.
What?
So the hard times may come. You know, some of us don't know how to walk our faith, you know, and so forth like that, and keep going, even in the face of hard times. But, you know, one way or another, if you trust the Lord and you have the proper declaration of faith, the Lord will see you through. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, here are some of the scriptures. Here is one scripture that you should consider when, you know, you have adversity. Remember, he says, in the time of adversity, consider, and I want you to consider this scripture. Praise the Lord. If you faint, Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10. If you faint in the day of adversity, then it means you are someone that has little strength.
You don't have a lot of strength. In fact, maybe you are a baby. In small thing, you cry like a baby.
You know, you know how babies cry. You know, something happened to them, they cry. You know, and I remember telling, you know, my grandson, say, hey, you know, you're a big man now. You don't cry about that. Tell my granddaughter, hey, you're a big girl now. You don't cry about that.
But you know, our babies just cry. You know, one small thing, they cry. You know, look, if you faint in the day of adversity, then your strength is small. But the Lord doesn't want your strength to be small. He said, be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might. And don't be a pushover. 1 Corinthians 16 and 13 means, he said, look, quit ye like men. Don't let the devil push you around. Be strong in the Lord.
Glory to God. Can you be strong in the Lord? What is your testimony in the face of all these things? You know, what is your testimony? Well, let's read a few more testimonies. But I want to round this up quickly here. I meet a few more declarations of faith. You know, we've talked about Micah. Let's talk about Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 17. This was this man's declaration of faith. He said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall there be fruit in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail and the field shall yield no meat, and so forth. The flock shall be... This was somebody like a bankrupt. You know, everything that he has, he said, look, even if everything is gone, there is no seed, there is no harvest, there is no reaping, the farm is dried up, everything is dried, everything fails. What do you say in the next verse? This is his declaration of faith, ladies and gentlemen. Readily the next verse. Verse 18. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah, somebody. Now, when things are cut off, will you rejoice in the Lord? Will you joy in the God of your salvation? Is that your declaration of faith? Can you say it? Now, be careful now. Be careful, but can you say it? Can you say, yet will I rejoice in the Lord? And yet will I be glad in the God of my salvation? That was his declaration of faith. Said, look, in the face of all these things, you know, and so forth, doesn't matter, but that's my declaration. You know, the devil can throw all these things at me, but yet will I, you know, rejoice in the Lord. You know, the devil, he comes to steal, to do what? To kill, and to do what? To destroy. John chapter 10, verse 10. He will steal your joy, kill your dreams, and also try to destroy your life. But Jesus said, what? I have come that you might have life, and that abundantly. And you must know that the Lord, now the devil, yeah, he will do his thing, but yet the Lord will do his thing as well. Amen.
Now let me read the last, let me just give you the last one here about Paul. You know, the last declarations of faith from Paul. Paul was a man also that had, you know, a lot of things. He went through a lot of things, you know, after he, you know, gave, you know, turned around and became a believer. He went through a lot of things. I don't have time to tell you all the things that Paul went through today, but this is his declaration of faith. This is how he said it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's read verses 8 to 9. This is how Paul said it. He said, look, all these things that came at us, you know, on every side, whatever, you know, he said, look, we are troubled on every side, but yet not distressed. Sometimes perplexed, but we are not in despair of life, you know. He never thought to give up life, never thought, well, Lord, my life is useless, you know, let me die the death. No, I am not going to be in despair of life. In fact, one time, you know, a prophet took his girdle, didn't know who he was, said, well, whoever owns this girdle, you know, this is what they are going to do to him when he gets to Jerusalem. They're going to do all these things. And so Paul said, I know it. You know, and not only am I going ready to be bound, I am ready to die. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. They love not their lives unto death. That's one of their tools in Revelation 12 and 5. You know, Paul said, look, doesn't matter, you know, I don't care about all these things. Let's read verse 9 of this 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9. This is his declaration of faith. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in our body, the next verse, you know, the dying of our Lord Jesus Christ. The life also of Jesus may be made manifest in our mortal flesh. This was Paul's testimony. He said, look, I don't know all these things that may happen or have happened. It doesn't matter. You know, when I'm persecuted, I'm not forsaken. The Lord is with me. When I'm cast down, I'm not destroyed. And look at how he finally put it together in Romans chapter 8. Let's read this one as we close. Romans chapter 8. Here is his testimony and his declaration of faith. Romans 8 and verse 31. And he said, look, what is the thing that we may face that you think can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus? What is it? You know, and here are all the things that he testified about. What shall we say then against these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Similar thing that, you know, the psalmist said, if God be for us, who can be against us? You know, and so on. They can try, but they're not going to win. You know, so that's what it means. Now, he said, he that spared not his only son, you know, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not even with him freely give us all these things? Then he said, look, you know, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justified. Who is it that condemned? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who shall separate us? And I said, who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now look at all his declaration of faith. He's saying, look, these things are not going to move me. God's love, I'm anchored on God's love, and God's love for me is stronger than tribulation, is stronger than distress, is stronger than persecution, is stronger than famine, is stronger than nakedness, is stronger than peril, is even stronger than that sword. Hallelujah. This is his declaration of faith. What's your declaration of faith? You know, when you trip a little bit, you pout all day long and say, well, you know, God doesn't care, and so on. What's your declaration of faith? Now, these people have been through a lot of things, but yet they hold their head up. Hallelujah. God, you know, he said, you know, is with us. He said, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Now, that's Paul's testimony and his declaration. Is it your testimony? You know, if you go to the law court, you know, or court of law, and in those litigation cases, they'll say, well, they might ask me, you know, witness, is it your testimony that such and such? Well, you are a witness. You know, is it your testimony that God is going to pull you through? Is it your testimony that you are going to overcome? Is it?
Yes.
John chapter 5 verse 4. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even
our faith. So this was the testimony of Paul. And let this be your declaration as well. Ladies and gentlemen, don't go away. We have an exciting event coming up for you after this. But I'd like you to stand up, let now, together, and let's pray. What is your declaration of faith? What's your declaration of faith? Well, the declaration of faith that we have today is contained in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 7. Let's say it together one more time, and I'm going to pray for everybody here. For the Lord God will do what? He will help me. You know, therefore what? Shall I not be confounded? Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed, and my people shall never be put to shame. Father, I thank you. Lift up your hands and just wave your hands to the Lord. And make your own declaration right now. There are a cloud of witnesses. You know, the angels and the devils, they can hear you. Make your declaration of faith and say, you know, that, Lord, I know that I will not be ashamed. For surely there is an end. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 23 will tell you that. And verse 18, I know that there is an end, and my expectation shall not be cut short. My expectation shall not be cut off. There is an end. Is that your testimony? Whatever you are going through, surely there is an end. Hallelujah. And your expectation shall not be cut off. Father, I thank you for everyone that is here. Give the Lord a hand clap here, everybody. Praise the Lord. Put your hands together for Jesus. I know that the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flame, and I shall not be ashamed. Praise the Lord. Now that's my declaration of faith. What is yours? May the Lord enable every one of us to stand in the word of God and declare boldly our faith as we go through life's ups and downs. God bless every one of you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.